through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Kia ora.
Kei te pihi a koe.
Kei te pai.
Hi, that's good to hear.
Well, yeah, I'm good.
Sunny, it's
It is sunny out there. Yeah, when you get out of the shade, it's like it's actually pretty lovely out there today.
It is deceptive though. You do need a jersey still, folks. If you're looking out the window and you're like, today's a t-shirt day, don't be like your old mate
Come
Rachel.
On, it's Auckland, guys.
It's
Come
Auckland.
On. Don't be silly about it. I like the visual because you said we're going to hit the media. So now I'm interpreting like I am a weapon, and that's why it's called
Media Bat.
We hit the media with the media bat. Every week.
That's the one. The media ball with the media bat.
I've got a ton of little things. So just stop me talking when we run out of time, eh?
Is that
a deal?
Yeah, let's do it.
I did that classic thing of like last night, I stayed up too late doing other stuff and I didn't see any media things. And so I got up real early this morning. I was like, shit, I got to find something. And then I found too many things.
We love your commitment to the show, Tim. Thanks.
It's Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And Stuff have renamed all their newspapers around the country. They've got all their local papers and they've adopted names in Te Reo for the week on their mastheads in particular.
I was going to ask, is this just this week or are we just doing that's done now? They're changed for good.
Oh, Tess. You wish. Nah, it'll just be for the week. I'm kind of torn on this because, like, in some ways, any action like this is good and normalising, but
yeah.
I don't know. There's a little bit of tokenism.
It seems weird to change it back after you've changed
it
for a week.
That's the tricky, tricky pivot, eh?
Yeah, I saw someone say the same thing. I think TV3 maybe also is calling themselves Toru this week.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this is cool. Just keep it like that. It's better than just three, you know?
Especially
their
dumbass, like, font with a plus sign and everything. It's so... Stupid, I hate it. But, you know, at least it looks like they've gone about it the right way. They've consulted with local iwi to come up with the appropriate names for the local newspapers around the place. So, for example, in Ōtautahi, my hometown newspaper, which was formerly known as The Press, that has become Te Matatiki for the week, which is cool.
Righteous.
Mike Hosking got a BSA complaint upheld. So I thought I'd let everyone know just to brighten their day a little bit about that. he has fallen afoul of the accuracy standards. In April, he claimed that Italy's COVID death figures were misleading. He said, quote, 99.2% died with underlying health issues. In other words, the very things that were killing them anyway. At over 1,600 per day. So basically, this is a real dumbass argument that a lot of particularly kind of conspiratorial people have been wheeling out for COVID. And it's essentially going like, if you got shot by a person, and someone said how'd they die, you'd be like, well, blood pressure went way down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, how did that happen? Well, a bullet went through them. Okay, so they died of a gunshot? No, blood pressure went down.
We're all going to die one day. It's that kind of logic. It's also super ableist and just really stink as well.
It's super stink.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of conversations about Mike Hosking with people recently. And like... True conversations.
Just shaking.
I was talking with someone who's quite prominent in the media. I'm not going to like blow up their spot by saying who, but they were saying that they really respect him because he just, the amount of work he does to come up with vastly different opinions every single day across different mediums is quite impressive and speaks to a work ethic. And what I was saying to that person was, it's like going, I'm really good at lighting churches on fire.
Mm.
Like, I'm so good at my job. But does that job do any good for anyone? No, but I'm really freaking good at it.
I do wonder if, because he's been in the media for a minute or two, he must know a thing or two about BSA complaints. And I do wonder if he said that and thought, shit.
This one might
be an issue.
I think he just has to generate so much content at this point that he just keeps running. The thing about BSA complaints as well is even when they're upheld, generally speaking, first of all, it's actually pretty hard to get one upheld.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we've had a text in from someone kind of asking what a BSA complaint is. Someone said, is a BSA complaint a bullshit award?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. I'm sorry that I'm using acronyms. It's because I used to work in radio, so we just use these terms and don't think
He's
about it.
He's a man of the media.
The Broadcasting Standards Authority is like a self-regulating body that governs the rules. So basically, radio and television industries where there's not massive laws that govern what they do. They told the government, they're like, we can look after it ourselves. And so the BSA is the body that forms the rules that everyone has to adhere to. And the industry develops them over time and dishes out penalties themselves. So there's 11 in radio standards, and there's all the rules that fit under them. I'll rail them off real quick. Good taste and decency, program information, children's interests, violence, law and order, discrimination and denigration, alcohol, balance, accuracy, privacy and fairness. Those are the standards that all the rules fit under. And you've got to like complain to the radio station first and then they do an internal investigation. And if they say, nah, we reckon we're sweet, then you go to the BSA and then the BSA do an investigation. And a small fine can be issued, or depending on the severity, the broadcaster might get taken off air for a little while. It's a very well-known inside radio trick to take a broadcaster off air when they were going to go on holiday anyway. Like a lot of top 40 stations used to do that for shock jocks and stuff. They'd be like, just to generate headlines. They'd be like, oh yeah, you said something shocking, so we had to take him. You know, like Dom Harvey, I'm sure, has taken a few holidays, which were like, oh, a BSA complaint got upheld, so we took him off here.
I didn't know that was a thing that people did.
But there was no BSA complaint.
There was a BSA, they're constantly getting BSA complaints. The radio station would just like overreact to generate a story.
But then, I mean, it also is still like the kind of the governing body. It does actually serve like a useful purpose because it stops, you know, nasty stuff happening, in theory. Absolutely. At least.
It's a double-edged sword because it also prevents the government from poking the nose in and making laws about it. But it generally, I think it generally works pretty well in NZ. Hey, there was a really interesting piece today written by a Wellington journalist who had a chat to Robin Malcolm. I'm just trying to find their name. Oh, Bridie Whitten, who spoke to Robin Malcolm about the whole Hobbit Law incident that happened 10 years ago now,
so
in 2010.
Can you give us a refresher? Because it's one of those things I think we talk about a lot. We talk about the Hobbit Law. People are like, oh, yeah, the Hobbit Law. And there's like this vague cloud of badness around it. But actually, some people might not know what the deal with the Hobbit Law is. So what is it, Tim?
In 2010, Peter Jackson brought the production of The Hobbit, the film, to New Zealand. And that was in conjunction with Warner Brothers, who were the massive production company that was going to put it here. Or did put it here. And when the announcement got made, NZ Equity, which is the actors' union in New Zealand, they used it as a lever to push for collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. So Robin Malcolm was the most prominent figure as part of that action. In the film industry in New Zealand, particularly with actors, everyone's on individual contracts. And what that means is when you're going up against a huge giant like Warner Brothers, they can really whittle down your pay and conditions and you don't have a lot of power. Because if you object or you want more money or whatever, they'll just go to someone else. So by using collective bargaining, which is what you do in a union, you pull all the workers' power together so they can actually kind of go up against these big corporations. John Key, at the behest of Peter Jackson, got so freaked out that they passed a law, I believe under urgency, which was so-called the Hobbit Law. It's actually called the Employment Relations Film Production Work Amendment Bill. And it basically restricted collective action that people working on a film set can use in New Zealand. And that quashed it. Mm-hmm. And then Warner Brothers were like, hooray, they can't perform collective action now. And the actors were like, holy shit.
This is not good.
Robin Malcolm got like quite cancelled in the industry, which I didn't really appreciate at the time. But she, apparently a director called her damaged goods. She got a death threat. Everyone freaking hated her. And she could only work in Australia for a long amount of time.
Wow, that's just awful, isn't it?
It sucks. And the law was so controversial that Labor actually ditched it in their first 100 days when Jacinda Ardern formed the new government. Mm-hmm. So that's how like high priority Labor had it on their list. So yeah, just an interesting little footnote in our recent history. But Robin Malcolm rules, let me say that. Shout out.
Robin Malcolm, two big shuckers for Robin Malcolm. She does rule.
And Jennifer Ward Leland was the other big figure in that fight. And also just as a crossover episode, she is one of the most prominent in the acting world champions of Te Reo. She's been an OG.
I think maybe it was Jennifer Ward Leland I saw tweeting about keeping TV3 as Toru, I think, maybe.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all. She's she goes way back with that fight. It's very cool. Hey, there's a doco out on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. It's really freaking good.
I've heard a lot of people talking about this. You've watched it, ATS.
I think this was the first thing I said on Monday morning when I came in.
Did you enjoy
on
it?
The show.
Because you studied this stuff, right?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. I thought it was interesting. I thought that it was interesting that all these people, though, for anyone who hasn't seen it, the premise is that they interview, or would you want to take it away?
Yeah, they interview
all these people from the industry and talk about data collection under Google and Facebook and Twitter and all your social media sites. But it's a bunch of people who have worked or been quite high profile in the industry.
It's people who created the platform. So they're vice presidents, they're technologists, they're people who like created certain, but like one of the guys invented the like button at Facebook. Another one created the algorithm at YouTube that goes, this is the next video you should watch. And they're all coming out going, hey, we thought we were doing good. Turns out we effed up and now we're trying to get everyone off social media.
I thought it was a bit of a redemption sort of. They were like, we need to 100%. Let people know.
They feel very guilty. It is an incredible, like in my opinion, I've heard mixed things online, but I'm a big nerd. So I've followed this shit for years. And I think that Doco does such an excellent job of distilling these issues and underlining the important bit. Because it's not just the privacy stuff, it's the behavior manipulation.
Yeah, that's the freaky. I think everyone's kind of on board with the privacy stuff being quite freaky, but also people are a bit like, this is the world we live in now. But the behavior stuff.
The behavior modification stuff is terrifying, and the effect that it's having on our collective mental health, it should give everyone pause. There's a New Zealand dimension to this because at the start, they've got some brief footage of the Christchurch terror attack. And our chief censor, David Shanks, recommended that Netflix either remove that footage or make some changes, which they've gone ahead and done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they changed the maturity rating, which was 7 plus to 13 plus, and they've added an explicit warning at the start that it does contain some footage of the Christchurch attack.
I did, because I saw that piece of footage, and I thought, I wonder if this should have like a little bit of a trigger warning.
Apparently it does now. I saw it before.
I think that just changed like in the last 2 days, maybe. Yeah,
it must be. I mean, surely we're out of time. I've got one more.
Yeah, we're getting up there, but flick us to your last one.
Well, there's some big old fights happening between Australia and Facebook, and they're very interesting. You can quite, like, if you're interested in this stuff, you should Google it because they get a little bit complicated. But
Australia v. Facebook.
Yeah, there was
one
There was a development yesterday that Australia, Facebook was trying to prove that they didn't do business in Australia during the Cambridge Analytica leak.
Ooh.
Which seems like complete bullshit.
Right.
And a judge went, hey, this is total bullshit. You were absolutely doing business there. The Australian Information Commissioner, they've got legal proceedings against Facebook because of the privacy leak.
Right.
It was 311,000 Australians' private details. And the potential penalty they could face for the data breach is $1.7 million per person. So the quick math, in theory, Facebook could be on the hook for $528.9 billion in penalties for falling afoul of privacy laws in Oz.
Far out. Well, that felt very comprehensive, Tim. I feel like we touched base with a lot of media bits going on.
Less is more, eh? I need to calm down.
This text. Someone's texted in and they've just said, I don't like how your phone is constantly listening to your private conversations.
Yeah, fair call, man. Do you know, Google keep claiming that they're not doing it, and I just don't believe them.
Everybody has got a situation where they're like, I was talking about one really weird specific pair of shoes, and suddenly it's all my featured ads.
Google and Facebook have both vociferously, is that the right word? Denied that they do that. And I just think that's bullshit because it's just happened way too often. They're like, no, it's because the algorithm's so good at knowing you that it's like clicking onto different life stages. I'm like, bullshit.
Nah, you're listening.
I talked about a bidet one time in a gag and now I'm getting advertised ass cleaners. Come on now.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Pleasure.
Have a lovely week.
Thank you.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.